الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. الحمد لله that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us more opportunities for repentance and seek forgiveness and give us a life during the months of blessing, the months of Ramadan, which is, we are about two-thirds of it, it's already done. And I hope inshaAllah this month will be a month of forgiveness and the month of a beginning, a new beginning, a new start, a new refurbished heart, ready for to go for more time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained to you so you can fulfill the purpose of your creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the month of Ramadan, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained fasting on us as a nation, as well as for the previous nation, we may acquire a taqwa. So the purpose of fasting is to acquire taqwa. And when we look at the Holy Quran, we will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having a different categories of people. But one of the categories that He favor most, they are al-muttaqeen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. المؤمنين, they had a lot of warnings. يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون. Oh, who believed, why you don't do something and you say something else. But the category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor and accepted, they are المتقين. So your purpose and mine is supposed to be the taqwa. We all want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. And we all want the Jannah, inshaAllah, out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. But not all of us. And we all know that the way to the Jannah, it is by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill what He ordered us to do. And this life is merely a trial period for that. But we forget. We forget the goal and we forget the life. And what makes us forget is actually, we start, once we forget that, we started to disobey Allah. Now we need to know why we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the impact and the value of the Holy Ramadan. We disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of four major categories. But the first category, which is the one who leads to everything else, is the need for your stomach and the need, the biological need. These are the two major ones that make you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to understand also how the mechanic of sin happen. When you do a mistake, how the mistake happen. Number one, الشيطان والعياذ بالله whisper in your ear. The second, a reaction from you. You like, you entertain the idea. It sounds good to you. Third, you do it. Fourth, he's going to say, I am innocent. He did it, I didn't. Usually, fifth, what you do, you try to justify it. Everybody is doing that. Everybody say that. Everybody doing that. Everybody. And before you know it, you find yourself justified your mistake, and when you justify your mistake, there is no reason to correct it. And the worst part of it, you will do it again and again, and right will turn out to be wrong, and wrong will turn out to be right. And you will get used to it. There is an ayah in the Holy Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing Qawm Lut. He say, مَا سَبَقَكُمْ. No nation previously did what you did. In a lot of interpretation, people think that what they did, أَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِّن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ, the homosexuality. No, homosexuality did exist from day one. And in all over. But what was the dilemma of the people of Qawm Lut? It's not only the sexuality, the homosexuality. It was the acceptance of the homosexuality. That they accepted. It come to be a pattern of life. It's going to be another alternative of behavior. Nobody said no. Why? Because they got used to it. They justify it. They came up with it. And it came to be a lifestyle. And here is the devastation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because before it was denied, it was there, it exists, but at least the people did deny it. Here it comes the value of the month of Ramadan. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah ordained fasting on you. So now, you may acquire a taqwa, but we need to know what is the fasting. Fasting, basically in Sharia, it is abstaining from food and drink and sexual behavior from the dawn till the sunset as an act of worship. You are doing it because it is an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, it's not good enough that He sent you this and He sent you this and He sent you this, but He said also, I am going to give you one more opportunity. I'm going to give you the month of Ramadan. These two desire, the desire for the stomach and this, the biological desire, controlled your behavior. And you think it is not controllable. Now in the month of Ramadan, you can control them. And when you control them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, this is your treatment to control them. And guess what? I'm going to give you paid for it. For doing it. You are the beneficiary. You go to a doctor. He gave you the treatment. He gave you the diagnosis. Gave you the medication. And give you also the visit. What more mercy we ask for? So in the month of Ramadan is a month of mercy by the meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I am bringing you out of what control you so you can control yourself again. You can gain control. And if you can control the halal, you definitely can say no to the haram. When you can say no to the food, when you can say no to the drink, you can say no to the forbiddens. And if you cannot do it for one day, or 2 days, or 3 days, or 4 days, you can do it for 30 days, that means you can do it for the rest of the year. When you want to. When you want to. It will be there for the rest of the year. So the month of Ramadan is opportunity, another opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to gain control over yourself. And He said, whatever you missed during the year, I'm going to help you out to make it up for it. For all the good things that you do, I will do what? I will double and triple the reward. The normal reward, if you are doing nafila, I will consider it a fard. And I'm going to do multiple and multiple and multiple for anything you do so you can catch up. Not only that, but Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when the month of Ramadan comes, the gates of heaven open. And the gates of waliyazu billah, an-nar, close. And the shaitan will be handcuffed. That means, do you remember the mechanic of how we do this sin? That means there is no one whispering to you in the month of Ramadan. So your heart is having a fair trial here. Your heart is having a fair chance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving it another chance by eliminating all the temptation out and bringing your heart without it. And if there is no temptation and there is no response from you, there is no action. There is no sin. But now we want to know, what is the fruit? The fruit of fasting. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want? He is saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And what is the taqwa? We need to understand what is the taqwa. There is so many definitions to it. But basically, let us go to the generic meaning. The generic meaning of taqwa, that means you are taking a shield against harm. You're taking shield against harm. So when you are in a state of taqwa, you are taking a shield against Allah's anger by staying away from whatever displeases Him and take you out of His mercy. What we supposed to do to acquire taqwa? There are basic fundamentals we supposed to do. There are six major ones, six major elements. And I hope, brothers and sisters, that you will remember those very, very important. Like exactly you remember your name. Because you will never gonna make it without those six. Five is not good enough, unfortunately. Five is not good enough, but the six. The six of them, these are the one who please pay attention to. I know the khutbah time will not going to allow to go through by details by all of them, but I'm going to try to be very, very brief. Number one, khashyatillah. Khashyatillah, it means that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough to be self-motivated to obey Him. You obey Him because you love Him. And at the same time, at the same token, you are afraid of Him and afraid of His anger enough to stop disobeying Him. That's the khashya. You love enough to obey, and you fear enough to stop disobeying. Because you can love, but that does not mean you're going to stop disobeying. You love your child, but you don't respect him. When it comes down to him, you can spank him when he does something wrong. And you can obey, but that does not mean you love. Somebody put a gun in your head, you're going to obey him. But this is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you. When you come to Him, you come by your choice. When you obey Him, you obey Him because you love Him. Because you know that's the best for you. And when you stay away from His forbidden, because you are not taking Him for granted. You are not taking advantage of His mercy and His forgiveness. That's number one. Number two. Al-amalu bit-tanzeel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sended the Qur'an and sended the Sunnah to be your user guide. To tell you the way to His mercy. If you look at your Surah Al-Fatiha, you're going to end up with what? Iyaka na'bud wa iyaka nasta'in. And what you want? Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. And immediately, after you said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answer you in Surah Al-Baqarah, right immediately, أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You asked for guidance in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah didn't even say, in another chapter, I'm going to tell you what it is. Immediately, it came right after it. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah sent the Quran and the Sunnah to be your user guide to Jannah, inshaAllah. Your user guide to His acceptance, to His mercy. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٍ. The Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad is the best human implementation and understanding to the teaching of the Holy Quran. So now we need to find out and we ask ourselves, are we living according to the Quran and Sunnah in our daily life? Or they are the holy book that we are putting on our cars and on our shelves, and we use the Quran in opening of our occasions and in the our funerals, and it is completely out of our life. If the Quran out of our life, we are out of our life. You know why, brothers and sisters? Because simply, if you don't know how to live your life the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do, how you will live it? You are going through a routine, something that is keep going on in your life, and you don't have any figure out, and all of a sudden, too late. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. When the death comes, and to you it is too late. Third, الرِّضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ. Accepting Allah's decree in your life. A lot of people say, if I have, I will do. No. You are dealing with the most expert, the one who said, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all knowing. In any given second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you the combination that if you know how to use it, you will qualify to His mercy. Maybe something that you want, it can be harmful to you. And maybe it can be beneficial to you, but this is not the right time for it. In any given time, Allah giving you the right package. So it is not important what you got. It's a whole lot more important than what you got. It's what you do with what you got. Don't say, I am healthy, or I am sick, or I am poor, or I am rich, or I'm having a family trouble, or I don't, or I lost this, or I gained that. No. It is all testing material. And the good and the bad, from your perspective, you're going to leave it and leave anyway. Either way you are leaving, you are leaving. So you accept Allah's decree in your life. And all the time you ask yourself, where is the mercy in it? What Allah wants me to do? When I am directed to that direction, or I'm not getting what I think I want to get, or things is not going the way that I think, you need to ask yourself all the time, where is Allah's mercy in it? And you have to have a confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Confident. You have to have a confident in Allah's mercy. Allah does not put you in any situation just to harm you or to enjoy your pain. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us to punish us. Allah wanna have mercy on us. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. He wants you to make life easier. Number four. Promoting good and fighting evil. And that is what, unfortunately, very much ignored. We think that rich was coming to masajid and doing and building even masajid and doing all of these, doing all of the prayer, all of the fasting, all of these things, and at the same time we see all the wrongdoing, all the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passing by us, and we're turning our head to it and we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. No. Promoting good and fighting evil is one of the essence, one of the major
mandatory requirement in building the Muslim character. Promoting good and fighting evil. If you are not promoting good and fighting evil, that means there is no evil to fight. And if you think there is no evil to fight, you got a big problem. You got a huge problem. I urge you to go to Surah Al-Buruj and Surah Yasin and see how people did fight against evil to glorify Allah and to make His name supersede, and what kind of a price they paid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed His punishment in a village. So the angel went down to punish. They found out people in an act of worshipping sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they got very confused. They went to Jibreel and asked him, how are we going to punish people? They are in sujood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel asked Allah, and the answer came, Bihim tabda'oon. By then you start my punishment. Why? مَا تَمَعَّرَ وَجْهَ أَحَدِهِمْ لِلَّهِ قَطْ مَا تَمَعَّرَ وَجْهَ أَحَدِهِمْ لِلَّهِ قَطْ. That means they did see the wrongdoing all over them and none of them moved. They did not move. If we love each other, we wouldn't allow each other to do wrong. But unfortunately, we are speaking on the back of each other, which is, it is a blasphemy and it is a bad thing to do and it is a forbidden. But when we see each other hugging and kissing and invitations and dinners and all of that, and you know that that person is a wrongdoer and it is okay. Are you really a truly a brother to that person when you see him doing wrong and let him go away with it? No. You both now partners and doing it. And everybody else is doing it. I mean, everybody else will pay the price for it. So you have to reconcile in the promoting good and in fighting evil. Evil is everywhere. Evil in our soul, and you have to start fighting there. Evil in our hearts, and we have to start there. Evil in everywhere we live, and we have to start there. Rituals and prayers and whatever to build the character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained to build the character that it will be able to fight good, to promote good and to fight evil. Prayer by itself, you are not going to do better than angels. Fasting even, you are not going to do it better than angels. But Allah ordained it not to be a goal, but to be a tool to develop a character able to say no to the wrongdoers and to the wrongdoing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displeased with Bani Israel started by the man will be passing by his brother and see him doing something wrong, and he tell him, so and so, you are doing this wrong. He already said it. You are doing it wrong. And next day he will be passing by him, he will sit down with him, eat with him, and drink with him. That means he said him indirectly, it is okay. When the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displeased came, he came and took both. We are here having a responsibility. Allah did not send us to this land to eat and to drink and to have bank accounts. We have a responsibility. Our responsibility is at least to face the negative profile. In very eminent statistics, I was making a presentation on the Pentagon about a month ago. And for my shock, these are the elite, by the meaning of the word the elite, the decision makers of the United States of America in all branches of the armed forces. And one of the other person made a presentation. Listen to the number and think about it, please. And see the magnitude of the problem we are in it. 98% of the American citizens believe Islam and Muslim a threat to the national security of United States of America. Not 89%, 98%. Do you know what that means? That means the doctor that you go to, the lawyer you go to, the grocery store man, your teacher, your supervisor, your colleague, feel you are a national security threat. You can change all of that by promoting good and fighting evil in your life and set the better example. You can do it. It can be done. Good for the Jewish community. They organized themselves, they rallied themselves, and they changed the whole negative profile in less than 50 years. They changed it. And take it from me, I'm only one person and I'm going to say my opinion. And you may take it and you may leave it. We Muslims of the 70s and 80s and 90s and even the 2000s, we lived the golden era. We lived by AD the golden era for Islam. If the way it keep going the way it is, I wonder what the new generation is going to have to do. Either they completely compromise to melt and to be accepted, or it's going to be elimination process. You're going to have to start from now to be a positive partner in this society. Reach out to your neighbors, reach out to the different civil rights organization, civil work organization, and get involved. They change that image. They are afraid of the unknown. Most of the people are afraid of the unknown. And we are not helping. So we are, as a Muslim community, we are not helping ourselves. And we are a part of a Muslim, of a large, bigger community, which is the United States. We are not helping. So we have, I hope, that the month of Ramadan is going to be a beginning. Invite your neighbor for iftar. And talk a few minutes to him. Make a community action. Be involved. But sitting down like this, what do you think? And what the policeman think that you are a threat. The army men think that you are a threat. Promoting good and fighting evil is one of the main elements that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala evaluates us with. I want to make the last two elements very quickly. Get ready to leave. الاستعداد للرحيل. We all know we are dead. We all. And I'm not going to mention name, but may Allah bless their souls. Last year, we had people here in that masjid with us. And they are not with us here this year. May Allah bless their soul and accept from them. And accept them. Don't take it for granted. وَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Don't take it for granted that you are healthy, you are young, and it is all figured out for you. Don't do that. In any given time, be ready to leave. Be ready to leave. The last element. Hope. إن الله طيب لا يقبل إلا الطيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you the best of everything you see. When He gives you air, give you the best air. When He gives you health, He gives you the best health. When He gives you provision, give you the best. Everything Allah gives you, give you the best. What is it back that you are giving Allah? Are you giving your best? Are you giving the best? where you are giving some, what you give him back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look to who is giving from one direction, and on the other direction, what is it that you can give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so He can be pleased with you? And inna Allah ghaniyun 'anil 'alamin. Allah doesn't need any. He is the one who gives everybody. We supposed to be more than grateful if Allah give us only opportunity to give. That means, okay, I know that you are so inferior and so poor, but I will accept from you. I will accept from you. What more mercy that we can have, or we can ask for, that Allah is saying, if you give, I will accept. Sometimes when you go to a rich person or whatever, and you give him a small gift, he will undermine it, and maybe will not accept it, consider it insult. Look at what you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time, you have to have a hope of acceptance. Hope of the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unfortunately, even with the good deed, sometimes we deal with it as if we are dealing with a bank account. I give $100, I had $1,000, now I have $1,100 on the bank. This is now how it works with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That not everything you give, that it is accepted. And in here I gave one khutbah few years ago about the quality assurance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala evaluate every single deed till it comes to the end, where the angel says, Ya Allah, He passed everything. He passed all the tests, the tests. He passed the halal, He passed the ego, He passed this, He passed this. Can we write it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may say yes and may say no. And when you ask, Ya Allah, He passed, why we shouldn't write it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you said based on what you know. And I decide based on what I know. No one knows what was in the heart of that servant when he did what he did but me. I am the only one who knows what was in his heart when he did it. Did he did it for the cause of Allah, or he did it for any other reason? We have a lot of challenges. Even when what we think we are doing a good deed, it's a lot of challenges. And we need all the time to hope that Allah will accept. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us in that month of Ramadan to be a different person, to wipe out all our sin and all our mistakes and all our shortcomings. And help us and give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply them in our life. So we can live in peace and we can die in peace. And inshaAllah in the hereafter we'll be in peace. And inshaAllah we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. Brother, الحمد لله. We, most of us, proved that you can say no. You can say no to the halal. Don't change now. Ramadan never been a month. Ramadan is a state, status, that you are living in it. Don't deprive yourself from the joy of reciting Quran every day, which is you are doing in Ramadan. Taraweeh, the extra prayer, it is not meant to be only for Ramadan. Whatever you did, prove that you can do in Ramadan, do it other than Ramadan.
Time is so short. Doesn't matter how long you're going to live. It is too short. What is the bottom line? You are acquiring a taqwa. You want a taqwa. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealing with taqwa. How He is dealing with it. When He says, Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي اللهم اجعلنا منهم. All the secure, the mutmainna soul, radiyah, accepted Allah's decree, so it left in its peace. What will happen if you yourself accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and decree as if you accept your mother hug? Allah taught your mother how to hug you. Allah taught your father how to defend on you what he has for you, and you are running away from him. Listen to the second part. The first part, when you accept, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْآمِنَةُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ ارْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةُ. So you are satisfied. What is the reward for that? You can be satisfied with somebody, but you're going to say, okay, get out of here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as long as you are satisfied with me, I am satisfied with you. Radiyallahu anhum wa radhu an. Radiyallahu anhum wa radhu an. Ridha Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, acceptance of Allah, it was a condition, as a reaction, as a mercy of what? Wa radhu an. As long as you are pleased with Allah, Allah will be pleased with you. And look at the difference between you and between your maker. Look at the difference between you and between your maker. This is the opportunity and this is the chance that you come back again. Run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that month, whatever remaining in it. Run by the meaning of the word run. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ عَرْضُهَا وَجَنَّةٌ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Run, come back. This is the month of coming back. And this is the month of having a state, not fulfilling obligation. We have to understand what the month of Ramadan is all about. We can see the mercy of Allah in it. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helping you to be a better human being. Take advantage of it, inshaAllah ta'ala. And whatever you did in the month of Ramadan, you can do all the year around. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept us and accept from us, inshaAllah ta'ala. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless our gathering. And inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our siyam and our qiyam and forgive all our sin and all our mistakes. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihun. Ibadallah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurbah. وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.